This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM, hour two on a Friday. That means Vinny Meliulo, the Hall of Famer, steps in from behind the book there at the South Point. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you're having a nice Friday as we get you going. Don't forget, Lombardi Line, the look ahead is up. VSiN pros can get it. VSiN.com/subscribe. Lombardi Line going to be here on a busy college football Saturday tomorrow, and we're going to be here for the live Wembley game on Sunday. We now say hi to Vinny as he sits in there at the South Point. First off, hello, Vinny. Before we get to Mattress Mac, which I'm interested in as well, how did we do on the game last night? Ends up cashing to the over, but the underdog wins it with the win there, 27-22 for the Ravens.
Yeah, good to be with you guys. Happy Friday. Nevada Day, it's a state holiday this weekend here, so the kids are all excited. They get an extra day off.
Wait, what is this? Wait, hold on.
Yeah,
sorry,
Nevada Day. It's statehood day. Yeah, state.
I had
Nevada
no clue.
Statehood. Yeah, every year Halloween is. I think the kids are off today, so. So they'll be back. They'll have to go to school Monday because Monday's obviously Halloween, so they won't be distracted at all. When school comes up on Monday. And by the way, my house is the greatest stop. Not only on the block, but in the entire neighborhood for a couple of reasons. Because the kids get extra candy, but mom and dad get a chance to get down on halftime for the Monday night game. So it's always great to stop by Vinny's house.
He's running a book out of that garage where his wife makes him stay during the game.
It's just a little neighborhood pool, and so it's always great. So you see the parents it's funny when the kids stop. Usually the parents, they wait on the sidewalk, right? When they get to my house, the kids wait on the sidewalk, and mom and dad come and get the candy, and they get down on the halftime. So it's always special. As far as last night's game, no secret, right, guys? The game went our way last night because the Ravens, we opened the Ravens last Monday as 1.5-point favorites. We closed the Buccaneers last night as 2.5-point favorites. And they did bet it over last night. Of course, it went over towards the end there. So, we did get the side, didn't get the total. So, a small winner last night. And again, like I said last week, guys, the thing about Thursday night game, it's always popular. It's NFL. It's a standalone game. It is very heavily bet. But Thursday night football, you're really in a pretty good position typically to where if it's favorite and over or favorite and under, dog and over, dog and under, you got a pretty good opportunity to make some money, right? But it's also like the fuse. And then Monday night comes, and it's the exact opposite. Usually Monday night, it's a matter of what's going to be the lesser of one of those combinations, right? Because oftentimes on Monday night, because there's so much carryover, there's exposure to the results, whether it's favorite and over, favorite and under, dog and over, dog and under. So Thursday night lights the fuse. Monday is the explosion, typically. So it's a little can be a little bit deceiving, and there were some folks that did take the Ravens late last night. So we'll see how that plays out going into Monday.
The conversation that we were having off the air was about Mattress Mac, and Michael, I'll let you jump in here. I'm just curious. Now, if you missed it, Mattress Mac was on with Brent Musburger and I believe Dave Ross yesterday here on VSiN. You can still find the interview over at VSiN.com. I'm curious, and Michael can follow up, but how do sports books feel about Mattress Mac?
Well, first of all, Jim McInville, he's a terrific, first of all, he's a nice person. And, we actually started. Jimmy Vaccaro started the relationship between Mac and the South Point a number of years ago, right before PASPA was overturned. And he came in and he made bet the Super Bowl and for six figures. But we've kept that rapport and that relationship. In fact, when Chris Andrews and I were back east last summer for the SBC conference and the Hall of Fame ceremony, Mac was there. He was a keynote speaker, and he was kind enough to come to our induction. Very nice man, and you know he was with I think one of his sons. As far as our relationship with him and how we feel about him, we feel he's great for the business. Full disclosure, none of the wagers that he described yesterday have been bet with us here because he does, I think, stick closer to home with some of these bets now. Again, when we first got to know Jim, there was no wagering, no sports wagering back in the Southeast. But that's typically where my understanding is where he's wagered now. And in fact, I think there's a pretty good breakdown of his bets in today's Las Vegas Review Journal, Todd Dewey's column. Todd covers the sports betting scene for the Las Vegas Review Journal, and he broke it down. So, but Jim was on yesterday. Jimmy called him earlier in the week and said, "Jim, how would you like to come on VSIN?" And then Brent came by. It was nice. And they had a nice conversation. And as you indicated, Patrick, it is still up at vsin.com. And the entire segment, actually, you know, like all of our shows are archived. And that segment is featured on the website on vsin.com.
You know, so, Vinny, I want a couple things. Do you because he bets so much money, do you consider him a sharp? And then is his intention to basically offset what he wants to give away? Is this kind of how he does this? That's kind of the two-part question.
Yeah, so in terms of, I'll take the latter part first. I think, you know, he has special promotions at his furniture store, Gallery Furniture for folks, and then he basically hedges. He, you know, if for instance, in this particular case, if the Astros win the World Series, then everybody that bought certain furniture packages from his company will get them for free. And he obviously calculates what that could be, and then he goes out and he wagers on in this case the Astros to. You know, to offset that and mitigate that, you know, that promotion. In terms of being a sharp, yeah, I mean, I think he's got a respected opinion. He's a fan, let's face it. You know, is he a professional sports bettor? I don't think Jim would consider himself to be. I don't want to answer for him. But anytime you've got somebody that's willing to put up millions of dollars, that's to be respected. So, you know, I oftentimes, Michael, you notice I don't get, you know, too caught up in, you know, sharp, casual. But I mean, there are sharp players, there are professional players, there are casual players. But to me, you know, you try to be respectful of everybody when they're putting up their money. And especially in a case like this where he's, in this particular instance, he's putting up millions. So, but look, he does it calculated. He's got a terrific side. He'll shop for the best prices. In fact, a little bit of a funny story. I mentioned that he was at the conference last summer, and when he was given his keynote address, he said, and this was in July. And of course, the Astros were they had a lead in the division, and they figured to be. A playoff team at the time. And he said, "Well, so I'm up here. I'm looking for 6.5 to 1 on the Astros." And I turned to Chrissy. Him and I were in the audience, and we both kind of stood up and said, "Well, yeah, I think we had him at 4 to 1 at the time." And we said, "Yeah, Mike, that'd be great. And if you do find 6.5 to 1, let us know because we'd like to get a piece of that as well." So, you know, he does. He's wise enough, and sharp enough to shop around, and he doesn't just walk up and say, "Listen, you know, I'm here. I just want to bet whatever the price is." He'll look for the best price, and listen, everybody should do that when you're betting, whether you're betting a future or you're betting an individual game.
You are so diplomatic. I'll just say this, Michael, quickly. Mattress Mac, just to fill in the blanks, he's the Gallery Furniture owner. He's a super fan of Houston sports, including the Astros. He uses this attention, of course, to hedge his businesses, and he bets a lot, and he has an opportunity to make, you know, the biggest payout in sports betting history here.
All right, so Vinny's right.
He bets for the Derby. He'll bet other sports as well, yeah.
He bets twice in May in Louisiana. He bets four times in July, once in Louisiana, once in Las Vegas, and then twice in Iowa. So he is shopping for the best number. So now he's got $10 million in. He's got a chance to win 72. If you were advising him, Vinny, what would you tell him his next move is to make so that he's guaranteed to get his $10 million back?
Well, I think in his case, Michael, I think he's guaranteed, but based on, I guess, the sales. But if you put that aside, you know, he's in a terrific position right now with the Astros. I mean, he took them at a plus price. I mean, they're, you know, anywhere from $1.60 to $1.80 on, you know, depending on the location, or maybe even a little bit higher. You know, if maybe you look at the Phillies, not just on the side, but maybe you look at the Phillies in exact number of games. You think, if you look at it, does he, you know, if you don't think the Phillies are going to sweep, the Astros are going to sweep, do you look at the Phillies in, you know, maybe five games at 9-1 or, you know, Phillies, in, maybe not five, but maybe six or seven games where you can get almost 6-1 or a little bit better for your money. So, but I don't think he does that. I don't think he offsets it in terms of wagering. My understanding is he does it with the furniture packages.
You want Vinny Meluolo in your corner at all times. That's what I'll say about that. And of course, good luck to Mattress Mack. I think overall he's a loser of about $15 million in his career. That's tough accounting. When we come back, power rankings with Vinny next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Lombardi Line is brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the all-new app right now. Check it out. If you're in Vegas, you can stop by an MGM property, bring your state-issued ID. You're ready to go within minutes. Tremendous features there on that. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. We're back. We are brought to you by BetMGM. This is the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. Hall of Famer Vinny Meluolo joins us from behind the book there at the South Point. How have the, we were talking about this game before you came on, Vin, this Denver-Jacksonville matchup in London at Wembley. How's the action been for these early games in London thus far at the South Point this year?
Really good. You know, guys, people adjust. One thing about sports bettors, they adjust. They adjust to a lot of things, whether, you know, everything from trends to you know, start times and scheduling adjustments and things like that. So what helps us here at South Point is that obviously we have a 24-hour operation, obviously in the rest of the casino, but in the sports book as well. So we recognize that it's not just our visitors and our hotel guests that are here, but we've got a three-shift town. We do a lot of local business. So folks that are working on swing shift and they get off work and they come in, graveyard, et cetera. So this game, even though it's 6:30, it's obviously up just like every other game when we post everything on Monday. And folks, if they're so inclined to bet it, they'll incorporate it with their multi-leg bets in particular. Professionals will look at it and treat it just like every other game. They'll compare our number with their number. Now, so far, we've seen a point and a half move here to the dog, to the Broncos. This may surprise some folks, given the plight of the Broncos. But they are, for the most part, low-scoring games. This game opened with the Jags as four-point favorites. They took four. They took 3.5. They took three. It's down to 2.5. And the total is bet up to 40.5. You know, it's interesting too. I think the Jags, and Michael, you know this better than I. I think the Jags play there every year. The Jags are familiar with this trip. They have a lot of support over in London. I did see a comment the other day that the Jags may have more of a home field advantage over in Europe than they do in Jacksonville. Although I think that trend is changing because they're on the upswing. But I think we'll see some Jags money here. But we did go through three. We're down to 2.5 here. So far, it's been all Broncos.
And the Jags have decided to come back and play next week against Las Vegas. And remember, when you're the home team, you get to leave early. You get to leave first. And especially if you're the team coming off, like Denver's took their bye after the London game because of the long trip and all that. So, yeah, I don't trust Jacksonville, Vinny. They're the better team. They should win the game. They should have won last week. You know, they should have beaten the Giants. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the shouldas start to add up with this team. They're on a four-game losing streak. They should have beat the Giants. They should have beat the Colts. And they should have beat the Texans. I mean, this team really should be, but they mess up games. And they turn the ball over. And they don't really do the things that help you win games. They're bad in a lot of areas that you would think they would. Now, the number one area that they're bad in, and their only area that of my 19 categories that they're bad in, is their coaching decisions. They make some horrendous ones. For the most part, they are a good team. They should beat Denver, but they should have beat the Giants last week. And somehow, even though they amassed 452 yards, 310 in the air, 142 on the ground, they turned it. You say, well, they only turned it over one time, Lombardi. Well, okay, that fourth down's a turnover. I know it doesn't count in the turnovers, but they didn't get any points when they went for it.
Yeah, I think you hit on a key point too, Michael. And when it comes to, you know, results and how we translate those results into a power rating adjustments, you know, coaching decisions there. But I think when you look at the coaching decisions in this case against their opponent with Denver, I don't know, Michael, for sure, but I kind of get the sense that I don't know if there's a lot of confidence in the coaching staff. By the players the Broncos. So I think you've got an interesting matchup here from a coaching standpoint as much as the players on the field in this particular game.
I mean, Patrick, Vinny makes a great point there. When I look at Nathaniel Hackett, I never get confidence. I never feel confident. And I think that trickles into the locker room. I think the players see this. And then George Payton, just by doing the interview, George Payton should have stayed away from doing any interviews because everything he says is really going to be tainted. And then in the locker room, players are going to be saying, like, wait a minute, hold on, time out. This guy thinks that everything's good? Like, seriously? Is he watching the same game we're watching? You know? But that's all he can say. And so that affects his credibility. I think Hackett's credibility gets affected with his decision-making, his inconsistencies, and the fact that all players want to be led. All players want to get better. And when the coach is lax and you hear he's a player's coach, it's probably not a good thing.
No. Nope, 100%. Vinny, we were talking earlier, that's Hackett and the Broncos. We were talking earlier, and you've talked about this for many years on VSiN, the impact on the number in regards to injuries. Quarterbacks are going to have a big impact. I remember back in the day, Randy Moss at the wide receiver position having an impact on the number. I bring it up because Jamar Chase is out for that Monday night game, and I think we moved a half a point. Did you go 3.5 down to 3?
Yeah, and I think initially, and that move came early, Patrick. I think it was a play on the number at that time, but obviously with Chase out, that's going to impact things, and he's out for an extended period here, and this is a big game, probably a bigger game for the Browns. But they did take 3.5. We're sitting at 3 right now. I think when you're looking at this game, which will have – now this will have all the carryover that I was referring to in the first segment, you know, from starting with last night and going through the weekend, especially Sunday, and then culminating on Monday night. So I think it'll impact the number, but is it a Randy Moss type impact? I think this team is deeper at that position, and I don't want to take anything away from Jamar Chase, but probably half. It's not necessarily a full point. I mean, you certainly would rather have him than not. But the Bengals again, you're still going to look at the matchup here, and I think what's interesting here when I look at this is we could talk about the offenses, but I think Cleveland's defense is probably underachieved compared to what we thought they would be going into the season.
No doubt. Let's be clear. I mean, here's the difference, right? So when you're playing Green Bay last year, the only thing on your mind was how are we going to handle Devontae Adams? When you're playing Cincinnati this year, yeah, Higgins is a good player, but every team's doubling Jamar, and they're letting their best corner, like Miami did. Miami put their best corner on Higgins. They doubled Chase. The game came down. Tua got hurt, all that stuff. But they didn't score a lot of points in the game, Cincinnati. So, to me, now that problem's removed. So, that opens up the defensive caller's play sheet a little bit. And if you're Cleveland, that's probably helpful because Cleveland struggles to stop the run. Cincinnati struggles to run the ball. And maybe you could take out Higgins and do something to where, now they won't have their tight end, David Odochu, but at least they'll be able to run the football. They did it last year against them. I think this is a blow. I see the half a point. I don't think you move the number more than that, but I think it's going to impact the game.
Yep. Guys, when I look at it, and again, I'm going to tie this coaching element into, I think it's indicative. I look at certain teams who have some success and whose power rating has increased from, let's say, 3.5 to 4 points. Let's look at the two New York teams. I think those coaching staffs are utilizing their personnel. They're staying within with themselves, what they have. I don't think they're trying to force anything. Now, obviously, the Giants are healthier, particularly with Saquon Barkley. The Jets have done a terrific job. Now the injury, but they go out right away and they trade for Robinson. And so, but I look at who's at the results and who probably, I think there's a big surprise, right? When you look at the Bucks and the Packers, right? I mean, look at the Packers. The Packers are double-digit dogs on Monday night. Double-digit dogs with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. So you look at that, but their power rating, based on their performance and who they've lost to, that power rating is down at least 4 points. I've got the Bucks down 4 points, probably 4.5 after last night. The Jets are up 4, and the Giants are up 3.5. So you have to pay attention to how these, not only the results, but how are the results coming about? And I think coaching's playing a lot of it coming into play for quite a bit of these results.
Vinny, you're the best. The South Point,
thanks,
of course, stop by,
you.
Say hi to the crew there.
Good
Vinny
to be with
Malulo,
you guys.
As
thanks,
he
Vinny.
Reminds us, he is a Hall of Famer. Thank you, Vinny. VEASAN Vinny on Twitter. Make sure you give him a follow. Last week, random coach Jim Boeheim was in the crosshairs of Amahl Shaw. I wonder who he's going at this week. We shall find out coming up next here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. This is VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Pro picks at a glance, pro tips, pro tools as well. Steve Mackinnon, a great write-up about trends. Are they your friends when it comes to sports betting and handicapping? You have to be a VSiN pro to get all of it. It's VSiN.com/subscribe, and it's only $99. Think about that. That's a small investment that goes through the Super Bowl, and you get the kitchen sink. You get everything we offer, including Lombardi's exclusive articles, Point Spread Weekly every Wednesday, the guides across every sport, Amahl Shaw's picks. It's all there. VSiN.com/subscribe for $99. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. We're back here on the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome in one half of Big Bets. That is Amahl Shaw. You know, we were just discussing, and hi, Amahl, thanks for joining. We were just discussing with Vinny Mattress Mac, who was on the network yesterday. I'm sure you have an opinion. Would you like to give an overview on your thoughts on Mattress Mac?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you're in the market for a mattress, there's not a better place to buy it. You talk about the deal of the century, right? You could spend $3,000 and potentially get back $3,000 plus the mattress for free. I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
Is that what it is? Is that the deal?
Is that what he's doing? So basically, he's giving away free mattresses?
So if you buy anything over $3,000, let's say your total cost comes out to $5,000 for simple math. And if the Astros win the World Series, you get back $5,000 plus the amount you had spent. So you get back $5,000. So he doubled it from what it was previously in the past.
That's not bad.
He's going to run out of mattresses.
I'd say that's better than that. It's pretty darn good.
He's going to run out of mattresses. I mean, now, I asked Vinny this, and Vinny didn't really answer, as a great sports book guy did. So, Amahl, he's got $10 million invested in this, right?
Yeah.
And we know Mattress Mack doesn't do this, but say you were in Mattress Mack's position where you had $10 million if the Astros win, you're guaranteed 72-4. How would you, what would your strategy be to guarantee you got your $10 million back and then some?
Great question, Michael. And if you look at the forget the series price, because I think it's anywhere between 150 to 170 in terms of the Phillies. What I would do is I would look at there's four betting options available in terms of winning the World Series in exact games. Phillies in four is 20 to one. I think Phillies in five is 7 to 1, and then six is six to one, and then game seven is 6.5 to 1. So maybe I would put, I'd figure out a way to be able to put money down. But here's the concern I have, and this is the challenge, guys. Can you actually get down for that much money on the other side? Because I don't know if the books are going to take it, because they would rather, if they're going to be at risk for $70 million, they'd at least rather be at risk for $10 million than give you an opportunity to hedge. So that way then they're at absolute, they're in peril where they've got to give you $20 to $30 million and you're not going to make any, and they're not going to make any money.
But the mall, he's bet, there's only one Vegas property he's played. He's done Iowa. He's done Mississippi.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And he's done Louisiana. He's played no Vegas casinos at all. I think he's done everything. And okay. I know it's Iowa and others, Mississippi and those properties. So he's kind of wide open to Vegas.
Yeah, the I tell you, the other thing I would have done is I would have called Lloyd's of London to see if they're willing to take a policy. But if you can't, sure. If you have the option to potentially get down everywhere else, Michael, I 100% would. I mean, look, even if you have an immense amount of wealth, I still think majority of people would agree $10 million is a lot of money, regardless of who you are.
I think in Vegas, I think they're in Nevada, the biggest public figure as far as the biggest amount bet, is it Floyd? Is it Mayweather? He's betting million plus a game at times, right, Amal?
He was, but that guy couldn't pick a winner with tomorrow's newspaper.
Yeah, he struggled. he struggled big time. Now, let me ask you this. So DraftKings moved Ohio State to plus 180 as far as the national championship. Yeah. Georgia's plus 190, so a short favorite there for Ohio State. By the way, Bama's plus 340 and Michigan's 15-1, along with Tennessee at 15-1. Your Buckeyes head to Penn State. You're not really concerned about Franklin. You're laying 15, 15 and a half. Should Ohio State be favorites here?
Well, they should be favorites in terms
not
of...
Not in the game. Not in the Penn State game. Yeah, I'm talking overall big picture.
Well, I think so, because they have probably the easiest path, right? Them and Michigan. I think the real bet should be on Michigan, because they're 15-1. They got to beat Ohio State. I don't understand why it's such a foregone conclusion that Ohio State's going to beat Michigan. I thought last year they out-physicaled them the same way Oregon did against Ohio State. The Wolverines have looked good. I think Blake Corum, to me right now, if you look at the Heisman standings, I would have Blake Corum probably third or fourth overall in terms of Heisman. I would look at Hendon Hooker one. I would look at Caleb Williams at USC, potentially two or three, and then I would Stroud in there, and then Corum, and you can mix those guys up any which way for me, two, three, and four, but I would put Hooker first because his team has the best win so far in terms of what he's been able to accomplish. Williams got 19 touchdowns, just one INT. Stroud, I think, is 28-4, which is amazing, and he'll have an opportunity, but that's one of the reasons I don't like the preseason poll. I don't like the preseason hype surrounding the Heisman. I see Stroud's the betting favorite, but why should he really be when you look at Hendon Hooker was able to deliver so far in the biggest game that Tennessee has played to date?
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with you, Amal. I mean, Hooker has vaulted this program to where we weren't even discussing it, to where they're close to Alabama. Like, to me, I think what those numbers tell me is there's two good teams. Now, I'm not sold as you are that Ohio State's as good as we think they are. Remember the Notre Dame game? We don't know. We don't really know Ohio State yet. I mean, who have they beaten that we feel like, oh, my God, that was a great win? We're going to find out against Penn State, but we watched Michigan really dominate Penn State. I'm not sure this, even if they win by two touchdowns or 21 points, is that a good win for them?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I don't, to me, when I look at it, I don't think they're going to have the same performance that Michigan had. Now, granted, Michigan was at home. But if you look at historically, the last time the Buckeyes beat Penn State by more than 15 points, you got to go back to 2013, 63-14. Other than that, Penn State's been able to play them tough, one possession, maybe a little bit more than that type of games. Even a couple of years ago when they went to State College, I think they beat them. I don't remember what the exact score was, but around 12 to 15 points with Garrett Wilson and that team. Look, Franklin's always played them tough. Penn State plays just good enough to cover the number. They don't play good enough to beat Ohio State. I don't think this is a slam dunk. What's interesting, if the Buckeyes were to lose this game and then they beat Michigan, could they still get in? That's the one question I have. And what do you do in the SEC if Tennessee wins and if Tennessee loses to Georgia and Georgia beats Alabama, who gets in? Is it Tennessee the other team that gets in? I'll tell you right now, that Bernie Madoff conference down in the Atlantic coast, they should not have an automatic bid with Clemson going undefeated.
I could not disagree with you more. I mean, Clemson's a fraud. It took 1,000 great calls for them to beat Syracuse last week. Like, there's just no way the kid gets hit out of bounds, flag on Syracuse. Quarterback gets hit, no flag. I mean, like, it was a poorly officiated game. I'm still not sure. Hey, I'm not a DJ fan. I've never been one. And I'm not sure the backup quarterback is going to be this all that we think he is. I know he's got 5 stars next to his name that makes him a general, but there's no proof that he's going to be a great player.
Well, I just want to clarify one thing. You said you couldn't disagree with me more, or you agree? Because I think Clemson's a bit of a
fraud. I agree with you completely. I don't think there's an ACC team. I think there's one good team. I think Ohio State for right now, I'm going to say there is. I think then there's Alabama and Tennessee, and then I think there's a separation. I think you're right about Michigan. Like, we want to write off Michigan, but they play really well. They know who they are. They may not be as good defensively as they were last year, but they play well, and they're going to be a harder team to beat. They've been able to handle all the situations well.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And Patrick, to me, I think the fact that I would right now would take Michigan in the 10 against Ohio State at this point in time. Have to see it. If the Buckeyes win and they put up the points they did in 2019 and 2018, no problem. You live with the result. But Michigan has played extremely well. And I know people criticize their schedule and Ohio State's schedule. You can only play who's in front of you. But the point on Clemson I would make is, guys, throw in Oklahoma State and TCU. I think every one of these teams, including USC, Oregon, the two Big Ten schools, the 3 schools in the SEC, if they're playing Clemson's schedule, none of them have a victory of less than 10 points in any of those games.
I agree. And I think if Clemson had to play TCU or if they had to play Oklahoma State, you know, or I mean, if they had to play Texas A&M or the great coach at Texas, those two great coaches, I mean, God forbid they would lose by 30 with those two coaches. I mean, geez, oh man. I mean, they would just get out-coached Patrick.
Here's what I want to see happen. I want to see Georgia win the SEC. I want to see Ohio State win the Big Ten. And then that way, when Clemson gets the 3 seed, Ohio State gets to play Clemson in a bowl game and then to go to the national championship. I got to tell you right now, playing Clemson's like getting a bye right now. DJ Uiagalelei could overthrow a country by himself.
I'm with Michael. I'm out on him. There's just something missing with Uiagalelei, and Klubnik can't throw
ability?
Football. He accuracy, ability. There's just something kind of missing. And also that Clemson defense, they're healthy now. They're overrated. Oh. They were supposed to be all time. That Clemson defense is overrated.
Completely agree with you. Where's Murphy? Where's Brian Brazee? Where are these guys? They're not showing up.
Yeah,
Amal
I agree.
Shaw.
I think Alabama's
tremendous
defense
job.
Is overrated too, Amal.
Alabama and
I agree
Clemson
with you, but I think if Alabama managed the clock a little bit better at the end, I think they could have escaped that game against Tennessee.
They win it. No, they do. Or
if Alabama could just find a head coach worth anything, maybe they'd do something. Amal Shaw won on Twitter.
Thanks,
he's
Amal.
Coming up next with Dave Ross.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Big Betts. Thank you, Amal. Appreciate it. Lombardi Look Ahead, VSiN.com/subscribe. Some interesting nuggets. One in particular I want to grill Michael about next here at Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's never been easier to join the action over at BetMGM with the app. It's got a fresh new redesign, improved features, and quicker navigation. So make sure you check it out. Also, over at BetMGM, it's the best loyalty program in the game. Every time you bet, you get points. You can use those points for free bets. Also, you can use them for traveling to Vegas for airfare, rooms, shows. It's a great experience over at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, 21 years or older. And if you have an issue, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, one more segment left here, Lombardi Line, as we get you back here. Of course, we're going to be here for college football tomorrow morning and then for that Sunday morning game at Wembley in London coming up this Sunday. Michael, one thing in your Lombardi look ahead, I noticed you had, and I'll just give this one away, your power ratings, you had Minnesota at 4. This is a fascinating team because they don't pass the eye test, but the deeper you dug into the numbers, they pass every test.
They really do, and you could criticize them for in-game decisions. You could do all that, but points per play, they're 7th in the league. Offensive protection, I mean, I thought their offensive line hadn't played good. They're 6th. Red zone trips, they're 6th. I mean, these are all really good numbers. They're 7th in the league in the most first downs. Points per play defensively, they're 9th. You know, third down defense, they're really good in what they have, 9 categories that they're really good in, and you know, I don't believe it either. That's why I had this game as a 6-point game, you know, and last week I went through my numbers. My numbers were 11-3 last week if I stay with them. And, you know, and I think ultimately sometimes we allow this perception to really rule the day. When we're watching a bad team, we see it and it shows up. Like, I'll give you another example, the Giants. We talk about the Giants as if they are very lucky and they've been fortunate. Well, they are lucky and they've been fortunate, but they know who they are and they play the right way. And so because of that, the numbers that matter towards winning, the Giants are really good in. The Giants are really good. They're in the top 8 of those numbers. And they're able to, and that's why they're not winning on luck. They're not winning because the ball bounces or is, you know, as some shrimp boat guy thinks that, you know, the game's rigged. You know, like, the games aren't rigged, okay? The Giants have 7 areas of their team, from their coaching staff all the way to the second quarter defense, that they're in 7 categories in the top 8 teams in the league. That tells you you're pretty good.
Yeah, a little tip for broadcasters. If you're talking about games being rigged, you kind of shut the conversation down. You've got nowhere to go. So the shrimp boat guy may want to chill.
Well, this is a broadcast, so this is a moron. You know, only morons talk like that.
Who's going to tune into a podcast where they talk about a rigged
game? Every time a bettor loses when bettors lose bet and they blame it on the game being rigged, then that they're not really bettors. They're just guessers. You know, it's like, look, we're going to make mistakes. If you're 59% right in this profession, you're doing great. You're doing great. You're making a living. So you're going to be wrong 40% of the time. Just accept it.
Shoot, I'll take 55%. If you're 59%, you're rich. Yeah, and if you're talking about games being rigged because you've lost a bet, you lack awareness as a human being. That's, I'm not attacking anybody, but that's just, come on. This is, you have to have some sort of temperament to get into this industry. And by the way, the Arizona-Minnesota game, you've got it at 6. It opened 4, 4.5, 5 at a couple of shops with Minnesota laying it. We're down to 3.5. Arizona catching 3.5. And by the way, the tickets and the money all over Arizona in this matchup.
All over. Minnesota, I mean, had a week off. They've had time to prepare. You know, their defense is fairly athletic. They can run. You know, I know they've got Hopkins back at Arizona, but who scares you on their offense at receiver? You know, Patrick Peterson has played there. I mean, there's a lot of things. Like, if Minnesota won this game, it would not surprise me at all. And if they won by 7 or 14, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I don't think things are going real smooth in Arizona. The reason we think they're going smooth is because they played on Thursday night. We haven't talked about them in a while. But I think in just talking to people around the league, there's a lot of discontent within that building, and a lot of it stems from them awarding the contract to Murray. It's kind of left people a little bit on an island.
So you brought up the 6-1 Giants. When Santos is back, it's like riding a bike. He's back with his information. So I want you to throw up your stats for Daniel Jones, and this is fascinating. Michael, I'm going to have you take a look at it. It's a 6-1 team with a decision to make after the season concludes. And when you dig into Daniel Jones's number, where he is, and again, you can check it out yourself, but where he is effective is that extra element of running the football. There's his numbers. I mean, as far as, you know, yards per attempt, it's 6.5, you know, 6 touchdowns throwing the football, 2 picks, you know, the completion percentage is fine, but it's starting to get fun with Giants fans discussing the discussion at the end of the year.
Well, I mean, they're managing him, right? And part of it is they are running the 6-pack offense, right? So he's involved in the run game. You know, he's 58 carries. He's the second leading ball carrier on the team. You know, he's averaging almost 50 yards a game carrying the ball. He's going to have over 170 carries this season. And that has allowed them. They don't throw the ball down the field. They make no mistake about that. Now, let's be real clear. They're not. I mean, he had the 30-yard touchdown pass there. But for the most part, they don't really. Sterling Shepard had the long touchdown catch against the Panthers in week two when they blew a coverage. But other than that, I mean, only Barkley has a 41-yarder. And last week it was Slayton that caught that 32-yarder. Other than that, everything's under 25 yards. Everything's under 25 yards. So they're not throwing it down the field. They're running the same plays over and over again. They're not beating themselves. They know who Daniel Jones is. And part of knowing who he is he's got to run the ball. Now, does he have a chance to get hurt? Yeah. Yes, he does. He's not built like Lamar. He's not built like Josh Allen. But if he protects himself, this is how they're working it. I mean, they're just basically taking the Philadelphia model. They're not as good as Philly, obviously. And they're just saying, okay, this fits who we have. And they're running it. Remember, last year, Philly didn't do that until like after they were 2-5, right? They finally said, okay, enough of the conventional offense. We're going to run Oklahoma's offense. And they developed this what I call now the six-pack offense.
Don't you love if you're Daboll, don't you love this spot? You're 6-1, but you're a dog again. You're a 3-point dog in Seattle. I mean, it just sets up perfectly for a head coach.
And he's talking to the team about how Seattle has a 70% winning percentage at home. So we're not favored. Seattle's great at home. We've got your true attention. The question's going to be, will DK Metcalf play? Because DK Metcalf is one of those guys that Don Martindale has to look at his play sheet and say, okay, what am I in? Now, this Marcus Goodwin guy, who's incredibly fast, right? He was a world-class sprinter. He's kind of bounced around the league. You know, he'll take his place. But, you know, where is he? They say he's out for the game. Okay, we'll see. He didn't practice last week, but he hasn't been ruled out. You know, Lockett's got a hamstring issue. Is he going to play in the game? That's another question. So, and I think when you look at the Seattle defense as you break this game down, Seattle's defense the last 2 weeks has played better than anybody. They've forced four turnovers. They've stopped teams from moving the ball with effortlessness against them. And I know it was the Cardinals and the Chargers, but they've played. They've only given up 31 points in 2 weeks, and they've only given up 36 first downs in 2 weeks. So they've played better the last 2 weeks.
Brian Daboll is 5-0 outright in his career as an underdog. Why? He's 6-1 overall, and he's been an underdog in every season. He's just constantly a dog. It really is a fascinating streak they put together there with the Giants. And again, yeah, it goes to that comment. Go ahead.
And look, you know, I think what the Giants have to do is stop Kenneth Walker, right? So it's no secret that since they played San Francisco, right, the next week they started, Seattle got to become the run the football. They ran 235 against the Lions. They ran for 150 against the Saints. They ran for 191. You know, they ran for 213 against the Chargers. They ran for 235 against the Lions. I mean, they're going to run the football. And when they do that, it helps Geno Smith out. And Pete's not one of those guys who gets bored, so he'll keep running it. And Walker's been dynamic. I mean, I know they lost Penny, but Walker's been really good. Walker's come in and given them somebody, you know, he averages 6 yards a carry, exactly what Penny was averaging before he got hurt.
Well, you saw it at Michigan State there. It's not just the size, but it's
Forest.
The speed. And Wake Forest.
And Wake
it's
Forest.
The speed. It's the speed as well. That break, when he got on that long run and he just kind of took off, that's a big boy running that fast. Hey, quickly before we say goodbye, do you have your number on Denver and Jacksonville? I'm just curious. Sunday morning, we're going to be here live.
I have it as 1.5. I have it at 1.5.
So not a ton of wiggle with 2.5, but if you were to play, you'd have to play Denver with that number.
I'm not playing Denver. I'm not playing. I mean, my list of who I'm playing is getting smaller and smaller.
It's a weird year. It is.
It's
scoring
a dumb
is
year.
Way down. It is.
Well, because we don't kick field goals, Patrick. We decided we don't want to kick field goals anymore. That's why scoring's down. If you don't like points, scoring's going to come down.
Why would
you kick? Not that complicated.
See you tomorrow morning for a college football Saturday on the Lombardi Line, Michael. I'll see you then, okay?
All right.
Big
Thank
bets
you.
Coming up next with Dave and Amal.